you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shut up.
Welcome to the Mind Your Own podcast with Aaron Sorensen and Sasha Durkin. Where we stick to sports, except when we're not.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mind Your Own podcast. I'm Aaron.
I'm Sasha.
And I have returned to the United States. Although I didn't kind of give you a heads up on this, Sasha, but I'm telling you now. I don't know what we came back to, but our Wi-Fi is not awesome. So like it may be the same situation. So hopefully I don't just start freezing at some point. Well, but that's where we're at.
What I did today, because sometimes, and granted, like Tuesdays is a flex day, so people have the option to work from home. But I came into a studio that was hardwired and hardwired myself. So hopefully I don't add to it. So yeah, hopefully, honestly, and I'm not saying it was bad, but like you were very far away. So like it was understandable that there were connectivity issues.
It was so tough because we also figured out after that, that if we were just out of our rooms and more in like the lobby or in the bar area, the Wi-Fi was actually working a lot better. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20, because if I would have just known, but that was the first day that I had been at the hotel when we talked. So I just had no idea. But yeah, it's good to be back. I was telling you that I feel a little like I don't want to say jet lagged because I don't think it's that. But like at the same time, I am returning from a 6-hour time difference.
Yeah.
So I will admit that like I'm a little like less peppy today than I was yesterday, which was actually good because I got a lot done yesterday that I needed to kind of get done to return to like normal ish. But yeah, this morning I was a little like, oh, just I'm feeling it a little bit more than I think I was.
Yeah, I haven't ever been on that big of a time difference, but I know, you know, on, well, any time that I've gone, you know, to a coast,
yes,
it can take a minute, and that's only like 2 hours at most. So, and it usually, what I have experienced, it doesn't happen till like a day or so after you get back, which is kind of a bummer, but
yeah, because I also have like a really busy day the day that we are recording this. So it'll be fine. Everything, I've got coffee, I will be just fine. But it's just been it's been an adjustment because I think you kind of forget that, you know, I was 6 hours ahead than I am right now. So like in like every day, like I would have until about 2 PM before people started to kind of come online. Mm-hmm. So I would take the mornings and things to just kind of like take time for myself or get things done. And at the same time, I would be going to bed when everyone was eating dinner. And I think like I'm starting to kind of feel that, like particularly this morning.
Yeah.
So it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It'll be all right.
Oh, well, I was telling Sasha that this is going to be, you know, this again, as I just told all of you, I guess it's a busy day, so it'll be about a 30-minute episode. So if you're kind of like, how do I, you know, gauge my time? That is how, because yeah, busy day. But first and foremost, I just want to mention this because I'm actually, so fun little like side note that I haven't like officially announced yet because I haven't felt like it's real. It will be more today. But I'm actually teaching a class at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln this fall.
It's, awesome.
Yeah, it's sports writing. And last week I could only talk to them by Zoom. And as we know from the podcast, very poor Zoom quality. So today is like officially the first day I'll actually get to meet them in person, see them really start the class. And so one of the things that previous professors of this course have done is a weekly, like just current sports events quiz. So they get free subscriptions to the New York Times, so they can be looking at the New York Times sports section. But like, I've obviously encouraged them, like, look at ESPN, look at Yahoo News, look at multiple sources, just be aware of what's going on. And so I built a quiz around just, you know, 10 things that are kind of current events. Some are easier than others. Like one was like, where did Nebraska go to play its first game? Like, that's pretty obvious based on like who they are. And by the way, I maintain this, they will have already taken the quiz at this point. So if any of my students are listening, they're gonna be like, dang, I didn't get a an early heads up on any of this. But one of the other questions that I put in there was about Serena Williams. And just she won her first round of the U.S., the women's U.S. Open. And obviously, we know that this is sort of her, this is her final hurrah into retirement. And so just kind of looking, I was like, you know, there's so many questions I could have like written about Serena Williams. I kept it pretty easy this time. I was like, what major tournament is she playing in right now, essentially? Because you should know, it's like the whole idea is like, you should just be like, oftentimes, like I always tell people when it comes to like sports reporting and sports journalism, you can't know everything, but you should just be vaguely aware of things that are going on. So like if you didn't know that the WNBA playoffs are happening right now, that's probably something that just go like Google it and become aware of, like, hey, the Chicago Sky are trying to win back-to-back consecutive championships. Like that is, these are just things that like make you a better reporter. Because my point with that would be is if you are, say, talking to somebody who says, I'm a huge Chicago Sky fan, you now have context to be able to talk to them about that. You can sit down and be like, oh, that's awesome. Let's talk about, are you from Chicago? When did you become a fan? Oh, they're going for consecutive championships. Oh, they're going to be playing, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, XYZ. Just knowing enough, like you don't need to know everything. No, I think that's the goofiest part about being a woman in sports is oftentimes people test your knowledge to be like, well, name every player on this roster. I would never expect, like, I would never put a question on this quiz that's like, name me, you know, like the random position on a random team that like you would have no idea unless you just happen to be a fan of that team.
Yeah.
But these are things where it's like, you should be aware of the fact that, like I said, the WNBA playoffs are happening right now. You should be aware that Serena Williams is playing in the U.S. Open, or at least that the U.S. Open is happening right now. So there's just like specific sports stories where it's not a bad idea to just be aware of what's going on. Because like I'm even just looking at it, like, for instance, like this is a pretty easy one, but it's like there's an NFL quarterback who took 11 days away. And now, you know, everyone's talking about, who is it? Obviously, it's Tom Brady. But like I say, obviously, but if you're not paying attention to sports news, that might not be an obviously answer.
Yeah, for sure. It's, I always found that, well, and even just in these spaces, being able to make connections with people, because even like folks who work in this industry, like just knowing and being aware of like, not everything, but being aware, like you said, just of most things, being able to make connections with people, because you don't know what other people like either. Like, you know, if somebody's at least paying attention to the NFL, maybe they could have a conversation with you about the Chiefs, you know? I think it just helps forge some of those connections too, regardless of what sport you may be covering or writing about.
Yeah, I mean, that actually just recently happened. And this is all good stuff, because like, this is the stuff that like, I want to talk to this class about is recently, after a post-practice availability, Travis Fisher, who is Nebraska's defensive backs coach, he knows that I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. He knows that I know DiCaprio Boodle, who was a player of his, pretty well. So he stopped me because he wanted to talk about it. He just wanted to talk about like how DiCaprio was doing through fall camp, or through their preseason camp, I should say. And it was just like, he knew that that was a conversation we could have.
Right.
And because of that connection, it was able to, it wasn't anything that's going to like be useful information, if you will, to like Nebraska fans in that moment, but it's just building those relationships. It's making connections. And so like, just looking at some of these quiz questions I wrote, and I tried to be like really tried to grab a little bit of everything, because it's like, you know, the Big Ten just, you know, agreed to this $1 billion deal, but which network got left out of that deal? And if you don't know that that's ESPN, the reason I would tell you as a sports reporter that's a big deal that you don't know that is it will, in a way, affect your job. Because the fact that it's not going to be on ESPN or games won't be on ESPN, that's going to determine time slots. It's mm-hmm. going to determine, honestly, as we're talking about conferences becoming bigger and pulling different teams in, the fact that the Big Ten has now made a deal that includes an NBC, who NBC is notorious with its partnership with Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Does that end up being something where the Big Ten parlays that relationship into finally getting Notre Dame into the Big Ten? These are just mm-hmm. things where I want to be really intentional with these quiz questions for them, but it's like, I want them to be aware of, and it's good for me too. I just think as a sports reporter, even if your beat is like, if your beat is men's basketball, I think it's really important to also understand women's basketball, to understand what's going on in other spaces, because it just provides more context. Because as we've seen, the NBA, the NBA and the WNBA are so tied together, especially financially, that decisions that are made for one affect the other. So mm-hmm. if you're going to be somebody who's covering one, it's just good to be aware of what's going on in the sports world. And it's just, that's, like I said, I would never ask somebody to give, like, I don't qualify sports fandom or sports knowledge based on like, well, could you name the quarterback of every NFL team? Honestly, if you said, could you name the starting quarterback of every NFL team? I could probably get fairly close, but I'll mm-hmm. be honest with you. There are some teams I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay, because I wouldn't expect that. However, if you're somebody who's like, what should I know? This is one that's in the news right now, and it just kind of came up recently, and I did include it, is there is an NFL quarterback who is a backup quarterback for a team who is becoming who is now reportedly the highest paid backup. And the reason that that's really interesting is because he's also reportedly has a no trade clause in his contract, and it's the 49ers Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
The reason that's really interesting is and for me, and the reason I would say this is something that would catch my eye if I'm reading through some sports headlines, is this contract that he is currently going through could honestly change how other contracts are formed, because typically teams do not want to pay backups the way that this is going to work.
Right.
It's something where, like, oftentimes they're like, if you're going to like ask that much, we're just going to have you like move on. We don't care. Mm-hmm. But like the reason that this is so interesting is all off season, it seemed like Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers were going to be done. Like they're going to part ways. However, on Monday, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Garoppolo and the Niners had agreed to a restructured 1-year contract worth $6.5 million in fully guaranteed base salary. It contains another $500,000 in roster bonuses and playtime bonuses that could basically be boosted up to another $9 million to up to $16 million if all bonuses are received. Right. It also includes a no trade, no tag clause that guarantees that he will serve as the backup to Trey Lance, or ensures that he will be the backup to him. And then he will be able to explore he would be able to basically then go into an unrestricted free agency in 2023 and have more, just more of a say.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's doing.
Yeah.
This is, like I said, like, this is a huge, it's a big deal, because like I said, we thought
his agent?
Right? That's a hell of a
My
deal.
Goodness.
Yes. He's got a good deal. I mean, when this is coming from ESPN, but when training camp opened on July 26th, Garoppolo reported on time and passed his physical, but did not participate in practice or attend meetings and hadn't been issued an iPad, a playbook, anything. he spent on his time on a side field continuing the prescribed throwing program for shoulder rehabilitation. So it just kind of seemed like it really felt like there was a departure of some kind coming. The reason that I think that this is so interesting is this is a heck of a deal. He's got a great agent. But if you're somebody who's like, I'm not a 49ers fan, why do I care? Because especially as NFL contracts continue to adapt and evolve to the game, and as players become more savvy and they do get agents that are more savvy, mm-hmm. like we're going to see deals that kind of take you aback a little bit. And you're like, oh my gosh, how did this happen?
How did that happen? Yeah.
So I just think this is one where I'm like, this is why I don't need you to know the name of every backup quarterback across the NFL, but like, I would be aware of the San Francisco Gate. This is how they put it in their headline. 49ers Jimmy Garoppolo reached stunning 1-year deal, because it is a stunning 1-year deal. So like, if you are going to be like, why do I care? This is why, is because this is a deal that could have impacts in the long term across
what, the league,
right? What other players ask for, what they expect, yada yada yada. So anyway, when I was like putting this together, it was funny because I read some of these questions to my husband, and he's like, you know, do you think any of them are too hard? And I'm like, you know, I hope that like, if somebody gets something wrong, while it technically, if they're not worth that much, it's like 1 point in a big scale of like 1,000 points or whatever it is in a semester. It's not a make or break thing that if you get a question wrong, your grade at the end of the semester is not going to be tanked by that one question.
Right.
But for me, I'm like, I hope that it helps us all, me included, become better consumers of sports media and what we're looking for and what we care about, because it's really easy to gloss over sometimes the things that like, this is the one you should be paying attention to.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so much information out there and moving all the time. And especially, you know, on Twitter, I mean, if you're going to be in sports and covering them at all, you probably need to be on Twitter, because that timeline moves so freaking fast. So it's like picking and choosing the things that you're actually going to actively go and read up about, or interact with, or the link that you're going to click on is like really important to, it's like really, I think that we do it automatically at this point, because, you know, we've been doing this for a little while. but just getting new into the space. When I first started college, I was like, I have to get on Twitter. I don't even know what Twitter is. I don't but it became really easy to fall down a rabbit hole of things that I weren't going to be relevant for the things that I was going to be covering or needed to be able to talk to other individuals about.
I actually told them that last week, and I'm going to reiterate it today, because I remember this particular class that I'm teaching, I have been a guest speaker in before a multitude of times. And there was a couple of professors, and I say this like in complete, like, everybody does things differently based on what matters most to them. And I know some of the professors would basically force them to tweet. And I don't mean force like, you know, you're going to get in trouble. It was more like you'd get points essentially towards your final grade for tweeting. And I told them I wasn't going to do that, because I don't think that I don't think telling someone they have to do something is going to actually make them, they'll do it because like there's a grade associated with it. But like, I would rather they learn how to use social media tools the way that they need to use them. Mm-hmm. And so like I explained last week, I'm like, Twitter and now TikTok, they make everyone a journalist in a way. Like, you can become an authority very quickly, depending on the situation you're in and how quickly you can share that information. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell any of them, hey, I need you to tweet about XYZ or use, you know, this hashtag and tweet about it at least once a day through the course of this semester, because what ends up happening is they get to the end of the class and they don't tweet about anything anymore.
Right.
I would rather they, like, I told them, we're going to have a whole week dedicated to just social media. And we're going to talk about not just Twitter, but we're going to talk about TikTok, because there are outlets like the Washington Post and the LA Times who are using TikTok to like basically tell news stories. But with that said, people are not 100% on board with the way that some of the information is presented. In fact, one of Hale Varsity's Drake Keeler, he had a really great TikTok explaining why this one, I think it was LA Times TikTok that used a puppet, felt really off because they were using it to talk about a really horrible situation. And while it made the information easier to consume and more accessible, it also kind of felt like, is it maybe downplaying the severity of the topic at hand? Like, are we maybe needing to evaluate, like, when do we use some of those resources to talk about news and when maybe when do we not use them
right.
because of the type of topic that we're talking about. And that's the stuff I want to go through, because it's going to be, I think that's the hard part, is when you're kind of not used to using Twitter or any social media platform to talk about things. It can be really easy to sometimes not use it. And I don't want to say like correctly, because it's not using it incorrectly, but like you just haven't found maybe your voice
right.
or the best way to approach a topic. So these are those things where I'm like, I remember when I got on Twitter in 2008, 2009, like I was just basically like bumming around, like tweeting to Ashton Kutcher being like, what are you having for breakfast? But I found out within, you know, years of use, okay, here's how I share information. Here's when mm-hmm. maybe I don't. In fact, one of the other topics we're going to talk about, which Parlay is really nice into it, is like I have also become really aware of how to approach news and sharing content after, say, a Nebraska football loss.
Mm-hmm.
When I know certain things that like I would do after a win are not going to, like, it's kind of one of those things where it's, you got to read the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you absolutely. Have to stumble through it a little bit to figure yeah. out like how you personally approach those things. Cause if you're mm-hmm. not trying, then when those moments come up, you don't have the experience.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's, as anybody who's followed me on Twitter, obviously at this point knows my approach, but I'm not associated with, like a news organization. I'm honestly, in a way, coming at it from, you know, a fan perspective. So I tend to be pretty sarcastic. Mm-hmm. And not to like poke fun at anybody, but because especially through, it's not even this regime, it's been the last 12 years, but just sometimes that's just my way of like dealing with things. Like, you know, sometimes when you're uncomfortable, you just make a joke because mm-hmm. it's uncomfortable. But I think that it's very much a read the room situation. At one point I was like, okay, like I can back off a little bit. Like, let's actually read the room and see how, check in on people and see how they're doing.
not well,
not well, turns out. But I think it's very much, you know, and you don't know until you try some things out. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be, obviously, no one's ever going to be perfect at doing anything. That's just an unattainable goal for any human being. But figuring out what your voice is and what your tone is in those situations, especially when it's something that you're covering, is super important. And it can take a while. I mean, it took me a few years to figure that out, but it's always been how I've approached it. And so people don't tend to get super mad at me because they know that that's what they can expect when they come to my page after any kind of thing like that happens. And even sometimes in a win situation, I'm going to be sarcastic, but that's, it says in my bio, I am sarcastic.
Yeah. I also think like, so I was kind of, you know, for instance, looking at what was happening across all of our social channels. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the thing that frustrates me more than, honestly, this is the most frustrating part in a loss. It doesn't matter if it's football, doesn't matter. If you have ever shared a video that is like positive about the team, people will swarm it and be mm-hmm. like, this aged well, to the point where like, mm-hmm. It's like, I can't, like, I understand people love to just dunk on things on the internet.
Yeah.
And if anyone is, and this is why it's so, so important, especially for anyone, you don't even have to be interested in news journalism, but if you're just somebody who spends a lot of time on the internet and you're like, you know, trying to figure out kind of like where you belong in it, for me personally, and I do my best, I will be honest with you, it's really hard sometimes to capture everything because mm-hmm. when you're kind of trying to do it all, it can be easy for things to slip through the cracks. But I am very like diligently moderating, Hail Varsity's social presence. Mm-hmm. And my rule of thumb is usually this. If you're being critical, even if it's maybe not the nicest of comments, if you're just being critical, like, that's fine. I'm not going to delete your comment. Like, you can be upset, you can be mad. Mm-hmm. That's fine. However, if you are attacking an individual, or if you are saying horrible things about an individual, or you are making personal just personal attacks. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, we had a video of Nick Henrich dancing on TikTok that people loved until Nebraska lost. And if you are going to come there and be like, less dancing, more practicing, yeah. as annoying as that comment is, like, it's not offensive.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, like I can roll my eyes at it, but I'm not going to delete it. If you're going to come in there and talk about Nick and make really horrible comments about him and who he is, and like, I don't even want to give examples because I've read some terrible things.
Yeah.
Those get deleted. And oftentimes you're also going to get blocked because yep. there is a difference between criticism and personal insults and attacks where mm-hmm. that is, we're not here for that. Like there's people who, and like, I just always like find this stuff. So like, I just wonder, like, do you feel better after you do this? But like, right. there's a person who went through all of our YouTube videos, and any video that I had done while in Ireland basically was insulting me and calling me fat through the, into all of the videos. And like, the thing I recognized is it didn't hurt my feelings by yeah. any means. Like, this person was making like horrible comments, like being like, does the camera add 6 or 8,000 pounds? Like something, like they were being like facetious where I could tell like, this person is like, it, I'm not excusing this, but I'm like, yeah. they must be drunk. Like,
yeah.
like if they woke up tomorrow, maybe they would still agree with everything that they're saying. But at the same time, I'm like, this is such bizarre behavior, but like, you're making personal attacks at this yes. point, and I'm not cool with that. So now you don't get access to us
yeah.
because you don't get to come in and throw insults at people in a way that is just like, we've talked about it before. If you're going to bring something up to somebody, if it's something that like they can fix in a moment, like sure. But like, this is somebody like one, my being and self and size has no bearing on the outcome of the game. So the no. fact that that was what somebody felt like they needed to like go focus in on. But like, anyway, I like could digress because it's just more or less like, that's not criticism. That's not, feedback of like, hey, I'm a Nebraska fan and I have legitimate concerns
right.
and this team frustrates me or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like this person said, how creative an offense is Iowa, Wisconsin, and Iowa, I think they meant Northwestern. Scott Frost is a joke. Calling Scott Frost a joke, like, whatever. It's not a personal attack in the way that, like, if Scott Frost said that, I don't think he's going to be, like,
right. hurt. It's like, but, coming after someone's family or looks or making derogatory comments towards an actual person. Like, you know, you can call whatever you want to a joke. But it goes back to that impact and intent thing. Like, if your intent is literally to try to harm someone's feelings in a personal way, like that's the type of stuff that obviously like is deleted and blocked. Like you mm-hmm. can't, especially in my opinion, and I can't speak for this obviously for Hail Varsity's accounts, but if you're going to go after a player personally on their personal account, like, stop. I saw some pretty horrendous things online on Saturday, and that was why I was like, I need to go off yeah. here because this is pretty bad.
I always want to create a space with Hail Varsity where it was really interesting. I shared this because I thought it was a really interesting question, but somebody responded to Hail Varsity basically asking how we live with ourselves as media members who make a living off of convincing a fan base to believe in the abject failure of a program. And I was like, you know, I don't know how many times I've said this in videos that we've recorded, that like, we are only able to report what we have seen or what we know. And, you know, the access to this program is fairly limited, where like, I can tell you through fall camp, hey, this is what I'm hearing about the running backs. But I don't know how many times I said, I can't tell you anything about the running backs at the same time because I haven't seen it for myself.
Exactly.
So everything I am giving you as far as information is coming from,
based off what you know.
Right. It's based off of what I know from the coaches. And I can say until I'm blue in the face that I have not seen it with my own eyes. And therefore, I cannot tell you directly what we're going to see. This is just what we're being told.
Right.
And my thing with that is people don't like that in the moment. When you say that, they think you're being negative. They think you're being, you know, you're just, you're not, you're whatever.
Yeah.
When it comes to fruition of like, hey, the things that we said we were not sure about because we haven't seen it, and now we're like, here is us seeing it firsthand. Like, then people get mad because they're like, well, how did you live with yourself? You know, telling, like, I have been called everything under the sun when it comes to like my, like, I have been a homer. I've been a hater. I have been knowledgeable. I've been unknowledgeable. I've been everything. And I am to a point in my career where none of it, like, I can only do my job.
Right.
And my job will continue to be the best I can provide based on the access and availability that I'm given. Now, you may go, well, why aren't you asking tougher questions or whatever? It's funny. On Saturday night, I had a question for Frost that somebody else already asked. So it's like, I'm not going to like push that further. And in mm-hmm. fact, I have a question where, depending on our access in the press conference today, if the situation allows, I do have a question that I think is better fitted for today than mm-hmm. it would have been for Saturday. Sometimes the questions that are best asked are not in the moment that you think that they should be, because you're not going to get the answer that you're not, it's not even that you're not going to get the answer you're looking for. You're just not going to get an answer.
Right. You're either not going to get an answer, or based on outcome of that game, you're going to have an emotional response because of what just happened. And if you give it a couple of days, mm-hmm. again, it's a read the room situation. Give it a couple of days to actually have some thought behind an answer of question, mm-hmm. whatever it may be asked. You're going to get a more probably robust answer if they're going to answer the question in the first place.
Yes, because so many people, for instance, want to know about the onside kick. Scott was asked about it on Saturday, and he kind of, you know, talked. He said, you know, this was my decision. It was my call. If I went back and I, you know, I wouldn't do it if I could have that decision again. But then went on his coach's show on Sunday and kind of like he didn't take away the fact that like it was his decision, but he essentially said that Brendan Frankie did not kick it correctly. It did not go where it was supposed to. Now, when you watch the film back and look at that moment, you can see what they were seeing, for the record. You can mm-hmm. see what Nebraska was seeing. There was only two Northwestern players on that side. So like you can see what they would have reasoned was, this is interesting and we could maybe make this work. I still think it was a bad gamble. Even if it had worked, it was still a bad gamble, because mm-hmm. it was a gamble regardless. And it was a gamble when you're up 11 with momentum. You did not need to do that. And it does not matter if it does not matter, in my opinion, if Frankie kicked it incorrectly or did not kick it exactly where they needed it to. Yep. It doesn't matter if that idea came from Bill Bush and Frankie saying, hey, look at what we're seeing. It is Scott Frost's job at the end of the day to say, we are in a really good spot. I just need the defense to get a stop. Or even if the defense can't get a stop and Northwestern ends up scoring here, if we can kick it deep and at mm-hmm. least pin them,
which had
down,
they been doing all yes, day,
they would have been in a situation where it would have still taken Northwestern longer to get down the field. Yes. It would have burned more clock. It would have still put Nebraska in a better situation. Mm-hmm. That is not to take away from everything everyone else has said about the defense and its tackling was porous. It does not take away from the fact that like Nebraska's pass rush was awful. Nebraska was really struggling to get any kind of run game started. Like there are so many pieces that you could be like, yes, this or this, and which are absolutely 110% correct too. Like, I think that like a lot of people are going, you can't just point one moment as the whole thing falling apart. Sure. But for me, that moment is one that I do think deserves to be talked about more. But mm-hmm. I don't think pushing Frost about it on Saturday was the time to do it, right, because he was in an emotional state at that point. And so we got the answer initially.
Yep.
Now this week is the time for follow-ups. Now this yep. week is the time for, how did that decision come to be? How did you make that decision?
Right.
Who ultimately signed off on it? Because it better be Scott who signed off on it. Because if it's not, that's a problem. Because yes, I would be more concerned if it wasn't ultimately signed off by him. I would mm-hmm. actually be more like, hold up a second. You're telling me that everyone else made the decision without you? Absolutely not. He knows right. that. That's why he took the thing that you have to always, and I have to get to Lincoln, so I won't keep yammering on about this, but I do want to just point out to people that like, sometimes people, you have to kind of read between the lines on things. If you ever want to know how Scott Frost addresses things, he's actually not, he's fairly direct. Mm-hmm. Like if he did something, if it was his decision, he tells you. If it was someone else's decision, he also tells you that.
Right.
So when I heard what he talked about on his coach's show, he never said, that wasn't my decision. He just said it wasn't kicked the way that they wanted it to be.
Right.
So he's not in that moment saying it was still his ultimate decision to have made, but yeah. He's just saying now, well, I wasn't the one who kicked it, like essentially. Right. So that's what I'm pointing out is like, if you're ever kind of curious how he approaches things, he tells you.
Yep.
And I think sometimes it's as much as like, just don't overcomplicate what we're hearing. And I think that's part of it.
Reading too, I think it's really easy to, and I know we have to wrap up, but I think it's really easy to try to read between the lines because everybody wants an answer as to what the problem is. Mm-hmm. The reason that I said what I said on last week's episode is probably largely based on recency bias, but they didn't do anything in that game on Saturday to prove me otherwise, which is why I put out the tweet that I did on like Friday afternoon. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be realistic.
Yes.
And when all of the pieces don't necessarily fit together and aren't meshing, I thought that there were like a few silver linings in that game, but there weren't enough to overcome the like constant toe stubbing that this team under Scott Frost has done. Mm-hmm. You don't have to overcomplicate stuff. Like Aaron said, you don't have to try to read between the lines. Like you said, Scott Frost is going to tell you one, what he wants to tell you, but he's also not going to make stuff up. So stop trying to, you know, push things and see too far into stuff when it's kind of going to be laid out in this press conference a little bit more today, I think.
Oh yeah. And here's the thing. If you're a Nebraska fan listening, going like, what do I make of this season ahead? The answer is, I don't know. Nebraska has, I think, you know, we've talked about that a bit on this podcast that like we need to be shown something before we really are necessarily like, I have said that as well. And I get called such a hater when I do, but it's like, I need to see it before I'm willing to just like mm-hmm. say everything. But look, there was good to be had from Saturday. Mm-hmm. When I sat down and thought about the good things that did happen, I thought Casey Thompson, at least in the first half, looked really strong. His connection with the receivers were pretty good. He clearly has a strong connection with Travis Vokolek. Now, we hope that Travis Vokolek remains healthy. We know he tweaked his ankle, but he said he'll be fine. Hopefully Casey is healthy.
Yep.
You know, he had that thumb surgery in the offseason, and like any little thing that happens can make that suddenly an issue. But mm-hmm. Nebraska has a lot of depth at quarterback, and I'll be honest, seeing Logan Smothers come into the game even for one snap was really interesting because it tells me like Logan clearly has the respect that he can come in and handle something in a certain situation. I thought, you know, there's plenty of question marks to be had, but I thought overall like the game plan in the first half was pretty decent.
I thought so too.
I have a lot of concerns about, you know, like the left side of the offensive line. I have a lot of concerns about the defense and why there just seemingly is no pass rush, why they cannot tackle. But then, you know, you look at somebody like Marquise Buford, who had a pretty decent game, and you think like, okay, there's some areas to be like
optimistic about, maybe. And
we'll see how those things come together. But I just think like, if anyone were to ask me again what I think is going to come from this season, the answer is simply like, I don't know, because I haven't seen enough. The sample size is still fairly small.
Very small.
Now, I will say this. If you were going to ask me to tell you what can Nebraska do to get this season back on track, you have to beat North Dakota. You have to beat Georgia Southern. And then honestly, I think if you can beat Oklahoma, then things start to look very different. Then Northwestern becomes a blip. However, Nebraska has not shown that it has in previous years that it can make that kind of turnaround. So
I was getting at the end of the episode last week is just, you know, very much so that very first game of the season tonally under Scott Frost has set the tone for the rest of the season. Unfortunately, that's that recency bias I was talking about.
So it's going to be interesting, but long story short, it's going to be, it's what will be.
Buckle up. It could be pretty interesting, but I think regardless.
For now, just, you know, go stay up to date on your sports media news. But we'll obviously be here through the entire season to react to, you know, whatever does or does not happen. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, like I said, what will be,
yeah. Yeah.
So as always though, we do appreciate you tuning in, listening, just sharing some time with us each week. You can email us at mindyourownpodcast@hailvarsity.com. Yes, we can get into the email inbox. I just haven't, it's on my to-do list to finally get into it. It was something with, not, it, it was semi user error, semi office, whatever error. It doesn't matter. I was having issues across all of my office, like situation, Outlook stuff. So it's fine. But then we, you can also tweet at us at Aaron Sorensen at Sasha72. And we will be back next week with even more. So be sure to just reach out. We love to hear from you. And thanks for spending some time with us as always.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.